Now, finally, we're going to get some answers to questions that we know may or may not have been on anyone's minds recently about the humble house sparrow. The song of the sparrow there. Why? Well, a couple months back, I talked to the author of a book who said we should pay more attention to the birds around us, even, you know, the boring ones, the ones you don't go out and try to find. I tried. The birds I see the most lately are these house sparrows, in some ways arguably the boringest of birds. Nicholas Anich is a conservation biologist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Nick, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
I'm being a little unfair to the house sparrow here. They're actually, I think, kind of interesting when you start to look at them. But first, for non-bird watchers like me, can you give us a basic description of those house sparrows?
Yeah, so they are a little bit on the boring side. They are kind of a brown and gray bird, what people typically think of when they think of a sparrow.
Yeah, and when I looked up descriptions, they used words like, you know, dingy and dull in describing the colors. These are official descriptions. These don't really pop out at you, do they?
No, and in some way they have kind of earned their bad reputation, as they are a non-native species to this continent.
Yeah, and I was reading up on this. I remember hearing a story of a guy in the 19th century who introduced birds that he'd read about in Shakespeare and introduced them to the U.S. These were at least initially deliberately introduced in the U.S. and took off and spread all over?
Yeah, during the 1800s, it was a big thing. There were these acclimatization societies where European immigrants wanted their familiar plants and animals around them. And so for better or worse, they introduced, you know, dozens of species to other places.
In the winter, it seems like house sparrows, if you want to look up and see a bird, they're the most likely one you're going to find. Why have they so successfully adapted in Wisconsin and a lot of the rest of the country?
Well, they've basically adapted to be around humans. So whenever they were introduced to areas where people occupied, they like feeding on, you know, seeds and spilled grains and other things like that. So they're you're not going to find them in the deep woods, but if you are in a sizable city or a farm area, they are very common there.
Now, when I look up house sparrows online, it seems like a lot of the common questions are negative. How do I get rid of house sparrows? Or are house sparrows crowding out native species in Wisconsin? Are they a problem for local native species?
Well, they can be a problem, and the real bad thing about them is that they're a cavity nester, and so they are going to be using birdhouses that other native species like eastern bluebird or purple martin might be using. So that's kind of the worst part about them, and they are kind of aggressive. So if you're trying to get bluebirds to nest in your box and you have house sparrows around, they might kick out the bluebirds and take the box.
Now, I've described them as boring. I hope they're not listening so they don't attack me at the bus stop tomorrow. But are there things you find interesting, maybe fascinating, about house sparrows and their behavior?
Well, I mean, they have successfully colonized basically the whole world except for Antarctica. They are very comfortable around humans. They're very persistent. I mean, they love nesting in little cracks in the wall and very hardy. So, I mean, they are, you know, kind of victorious as far as colonizing the world.
Do we have any sense? I don't know if we have numbers or if we can even keep track of numbers. But do we have a sense of their prevalence? How many of them are in the state?
Yeah, they are among the top 10 most common species, along with European starling, which is another exotic species. So they have kind of quickly jumped up the list to be quite common.
Talking to Nicholas Anich, conservation biologist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, looking at the house sparrows, a common bird you could see in the winter here in Wisconsin, especially in towns and cities. I also wanted to ask you, though, Nicholas, you are working on a new edition, second edition of the Wisconsin Breeding Bird Atlas. Can you tell us a little bit about that project?
Yeah, that's right. It's a statewide citizen science project. And so the first bird atlas occurred from 1995 to 2000. And we just finished the field work for this one from 2015 to 2019. We had over 3,500 surveyors, and we gridded up the whole state into blocks that are about 3 miles by 3 miles. And we went into 1,200 of those blocks to collect data on all of the birds that were nesting there. And so with the most recent atlas, we've accrued 2.8 million observations, And we were collecting data in eBird, which is the popular online app for reporting your bird sightings. During that window, there were 8 million bird observations reported to eBird for Wisconsin. And so we have spent the last couple of years combing through all the Atlas data and all the regular eBird data to try to make sure that everything lines up, looking at the time of year, the location, trying to vet that data before we move on to the more exciting steps of analyzing it to see how all of our bird species have changed in the last 20 years.
I know you're still vetting the data, and I don't know, maybe you don't want to spoil things or anything, but has anything stood out to you or surprised you so far as you're digging deep into this data?
Well, like any scientist, I'll put the asterisk that this is all preliminary, but initial analyses have kind of revealed some general trends, winners and losers, if you will, species whose range has grown or shrunk in the last 20 years. Some of the big losers are birds that are, we are at the southern edge of their range. So most of their range is in like the Canadian boreal forest. So these are birds like Canada jay or boreal chickadee or blackback woodpecker or Connecticut warbler. Those are some of the species that we are seeing reduced range, and they are retracting and leaving the state. Another big category of birds that aren't doing that great is grassland birds. Birds like northern bobwhite, upland sandpiper, western meadowlark, those are birds that, you know, perhaps more intensive agricultural practices are harming. On the flip side, we do have some big gainers. Like the birds who we're at the southern end of their range, they are gradually shifting north. The birds where most of their range is to the south of us, we are getting more of them. So some of those species would be Carolina wren, tufted titmouse, and orchard oriole. Those are some of the big gainers. Another theme for gainers is raptors. You probably know that since banning DDT, raptor populations have been doing a lot better. So birds like peregrine falcon, bald eagle, and merlin were doing quite a bit better. And then amongst our biggest gainer is trumpeter swan.
Interesting. We'll leave it there. Thanks to our guest, Nicholas Anich, conservation biologist with the state DNR. He joins us to talk about house sparrows and preview the DNR's Wisconsin Breeding Bird Atlas 2.